Well, every boy in Sunday school sees himself as David. I, growing up, saw myself as Goliath. Why? Because I was big, at least a head bigger than all my peers. I was fat, believe it or not. Right? Benson and Ben, you guys can identify with me, right? I didn't know. Ben told me like I was fat when he was like, but anyway, yeah. So whenever my Sunday school would have or reenact the story of David and Goliath, guess who was Goliath? Yep. Some little boy was David, and then I was, right? So that was me. Made it so that I, almost from that point on, I identify more with the people that most people wouldn't identify with. And I'm rooting for the person that nobody else roots for. For example, those of you older, right? You guys grew up watching Tom and Jerry. You guys remember that? I always rooted for Tom, the cat. I wanted him to catch Jerry one day and then just put him in the mouth, right? And then just eat him up so that he dies. He's so annoying, right? It's like, when is that time going to come? And then in Looney Tunes too, right? Remember Wile E. Coyote, right? And he never catches the Roadrunner. I so wanted to see a day where Coyote just catches him, like wring his neck and then puts his face on, you know, I'm sorry, that's the rated R part, children, all right? So, I'm always rooting for the person that nobody else roots for, maybe because of the David and Goliath story. Now, today, rather than retelling you the David and Goliath story, which you know very well, right? What I want to do is actually, I want to compare and contrast between David and Saul. Saul was the king before David. So the Saul was the first king of Israel, and David was the second king of Israel. And David was called a man after God's own heart, a man that God said that this is a man who has my own heart, who is after my own heart. But God did not say that about Saul, the first king. As a matter of fact, when God said that this is a man after God's own heart, it was because God was rejecting Saul as king, and then he was instating David as the next king, and then he said, this one, the new one, this David, little David, he's the man after my own heart, not Saul. So what I want to do is I want to compare and contrast David and Saul, and what is it about David that God, that made God said, he's a man after my own heart? Because I want you to be a man or a woman after God's own heart that pleases God, right? And so what is it about David that made God say he's a man after God's own heart? Now, the difference, obviously, was David's heart, okay? It was his desire to know God and his love for God. It's what I call inner disposition of the heart. He loved him, and he wanted to serve him from the heart, right? Not just in externals. Now, but before we look at the differences, I want you to also think about the similarities between these two kings, okay? So that you don't mistake me, all right? Similarities are they both sinned greatly. David and Saul, they both had great sins in their lives. And then they also both held high position, highest position in the land, being king. Right? And they also knew great successes. They're both very successful people. And then they both had great men around them. And they also reigned for a very long time. So what this means is that even if you don't have the heart of God, even if you don't have the heart for God, you could be a success. You could reign for a long time. You could have a high position. You could have all this worldly success, even if you don't have a heart for God. However, the one that truly pleases God is the one who has a heart after him. Okay? So what was the difference between David and Saul? Four things. First of all, how they worshipped. Second, how they dealt with success. Third, how they dealt with threat. And then fourth, how they dealt with sin. Real quick, number one. How they worshipped. David worshipped from the heart in private. Saul didn't. The Psalms are replete with David's songs about God. David wrote most of the Psalms, 150 of them, right? It is impossible for you to write what David did unless you had a personal relationship with God. David is lamenting. He's sad about certain thing, and he's crying out to God. He's happy, joyful about certain thing that God did. He's singing about the beauty of certain things that God has done, right? And, or he's sometimes puzzled about what God is doing. And so David, the Psalms almost read like a diary. It's diary that David kept, and he's writing about his beloved, his lover, what he did and what he said and how he felt and all these things. And so unless you have a relationship with a true God, you cannot write what David did in the Psalms. So he had a true, vital relationship with God. But Saul kept no such diary. Out of 150 Psalms in the book of Psalms, there isn't a single one that's attributed to Saul. The Song of Saul. No, no such thing. Song of David, oh, whole bunch of them, right? Now, they both went to public worship ceremony at the temple, so they were religious people on the outside. However, it was David who worshiped God privately and personally. So let me ask you, application, do you worship God internally, personally, privately, from the heart? Does your heart sing to the Lord when you see beautiful things? Okay. Number two, how they dealt with success was also different. David used his success to make God's name great. However, Saul used his success for his own gain. So when God made David great and gave him peace from wars, what did David want to do? He wanted to create, or he wanted to build a house or a temple of God for God. So when he decided to do that, a prophet said, you know, whatever your heart desires to do, do it. I think it's good. But God said, surprisingly, no, David, you're not going to build me a king. Rather, it's going to be your son, Solomon, who's going to build me a house, my temple. And so what does David do at that point when he's rejected by God in that way? Does he get resentful? Does he pout? No, what he does is he takes out money from his own bank, out of his own treasury, and then he buys materials so that his young son, Solomon, can build a house for the Lord. So David is saying, you know what? I don't care if it's me. I don't care if it's somebody else building the house. I just want God to have a house. I just want God's name to be glorified. Doesn't matter if I get the credit or somebody else gets the credit. It's about God. That's a man after God's own heart, isn't it? But Saul does exactly the opposite. When God gives success to Saul by helping him win a great battle against the giants, Amalekites, what does Saul do? He keeps the loot for himself, even though God told him to utterly destroy everything. Right? 20,000 sheep, oh, I want them for myself. I can be rich. And he kept them, even though God told him to destroy them utterly. So the application, if God gave you success and made you rich. Some of us in here are rich. Okay? God gave you rich. It's not for you. It's for God's kingdom, and it's to make God's name great. Use your success. Use your treasure to make God's name great. Three, why was David called a man after God's own heart and Saul was not? It's how they dealt with threat to their position. David puts God before his position, kingship, but Saul puts his position of being king before God. When David was threatened to be dethroned by his own son, Absalom, okay, he flees his palace. He doesn't stand there and then he doesn't fight his own son. He flees his palace. And as he's fleeing, listen to this man's attitude. This was his attitude, David's attitude. He said, if I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back to this palace, and he will let me see both it and his dwelling place. But, listen to this, if he says, if God says, I have no pleasure in you, behold, here I am, he said, let him do to me what seems good to me. In other words, David is saying, if God takes away my kingship from me so that I'm not a king anymore, let him do so. He has every right to do that. Okay? So I hold my position loosely. It's in God's hand. I'll trust him. If he wants to give it to me, then it's mine. If he wants to take it away, then it's taken away. let the Lord's will be done. However, Saul, when his kingship was threatened by no other than David himself, what does King Saul do, if you know your story? He tries to get rid of David. He tries to kill David because he's a threat to his position. He's going to take away my position, so I need to get rid of him so that I can become king forever. Right? So David uses his position to make God's name great, but Saul is trying to hold on to his position and puts his position before God. Young people, when somebody challenges your popularity, and middle-aged folks, when somebody challenges your position at your work, possibly, or older ones, when somebody challenges your reputation, don't be so quick to defend yourself, right? Don't be so defensive. Does it matter? Only what God, right, knows matters, does it not? Let God defend you. Hold it loosely. Okay? Last, how they were different is also how they dealt with sin. Please note that both men sinned greatly. So sinlessness or perfection is not the sign or a criterion of being a man after God's own heart. A man after or woman after God's own heart could have a great sin in the past. Okay? Because they both had great sins in their past. But it's what you do after you sin. Did you hear me? It's not whether you sin or not, because you will sin, I will sin, right? But it's what you do after you sin. David confesses. Saul conceals. Okay, that's the difference. When the prophet Nathan confronts David about his sin with Bathsheba, David confesses and he writes one of the greatest psalms in all of the Bible, Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. How many of us, right, after we have sinned, opened up to Psalm 51 and prayed that very prayer, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Right? Bring back all the joy that I used to have in you. The joy of salvation, bring it back. One of the most beautiful psalms in all the Bible, right? That was David. What does Saul do when he was caught looting? And then prophet Samuel points a finger and says, why did you keep this sheep for yourself? Why did you keep this loot for yourself when God told you to utterly destroy at that point? What does Saul do? He says, well, I kept them. I kept them so that I can sacrifice them to the Lord. Lame excuse. No, you weren't. You just wanted to keep it for yourself. Just confess, Saul. If you had done that, then maybe you could have been called a man after God's own heart, just like David was. So David confessed, Saul concealed. Application. When your spouse confronts you or calls you out, how do you react? You get defensive or you get on the offense by bringing her sins into her mind? When a church member corrects you or even rebukes you, how do you react? Are you correctable? Are you rebukable? Without fearing that you're going to leave the church? How do you react in those situations? It says a lot about whether you're about you or whether you're about God. So would you strive with me this year to become a man or a woman after God's own heart? One, again, worship God privately from your heart. Read and meditate on your word, on his word. Let me ask you, how many of you are in here taking up the Bible reading challenge and you have resolved that you're going to read, try to, or strive to read through the whole Bible this year? Could you just raise your hand? Okay, how many of you are going to attempt it this year? Okay, how many of you want to attempt it this year? I'm hoping that all of you, come on, don't give me, like, I don't have time, Pastor Hong, really. I'm sorry, your life is just too busy. Guys, God before family. God before family. You know what that means? Okay, let me not go there. All right. Number two. If God gives you success, it is to glorify God with it. God gave you money, it is so that you can glorify God with it. Remember the Thai children. We got 39 of them. Okay? Number three, when someone challenges you, leave it to God. And number four, when you sin, confess, repent, and feel His joy. Let's pray.